That was a musician playing one of Steve's guitars. Steve, thank you so much for coming in to be with us here.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, you've been at this for a long time, making guitars. The one you brought in, the studio, is beautiful.
Thank you.
Gorgeous. Thank you. Listen, tell my listeners exactly what is a...
Luthier. A luthier is a general term that applies to anybody that works with stringed instruments. So people that work with violins use that term to describe what they do. People that work with guitars, banjos, mandolins, ukuleles, anything that has strings. In my shop, I focus on what we call fretted instruments. So anything that has frets in the neck, those little metal bars that you press the strings down on. So that would be guitars, banjos, mandolins, and ukuleles. I leave the violin family instruments to other craftsmen.
So you are a craftsman.
Yeah, that's what I would call myself. Mm-hmm. A craftsman. There's people who you know, a lot of my customers come to the shop and get wide-eyed about what I do and call it art, and I don't really think of it as art. I think of it as craft.
Mm-hmm.
There are artistic elements,
right,
to some of what I do. The very top end of my line consists of guitars that have a tremendous amount of pearl inlay, shell inlay work. Mm-hmm. And in that, I would say some of what I do crosses into the realm of what I'd consider artistic. But the vast majority of my work I'd consider craft more than art.
Can you talk a little about what that difference is between art and craft?
I would say that for me, the difference is in creative process.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about what constitutes art, I think more of creativity, mm-hmm, in the act of conceptualizing and executing something that you're bringing out of yourself, bringing out of your own imagination, mm-hmm, bringing out of your own sense of an aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, I essentially execute skills with my hands, mm-hmm, that have to do with repair and construction, and I think there might be a fine line between the two sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like I said, I think that I rest more on the craft line, and that may be just a matter of my own definition. You know, as opposed to, you know, anybody else's. I'm sure there's probably ways to think of it that would land me on the other side of that.
Yeah.
So how did your guitars end up being at MoMA?
Well, none of my guitars ended up being at Museum of Modern Art. But in addition to building, one of the primary focuses of my shop is in the restoration and repair and conservation of vintage and collectible guitars.
Okay.
And I was involved a couple of years ago in a project that was an attempt to trace the evolution of the modern guitar from a Viennese German style instrument that was brought over here primarily by C.F. Martin Sr., who was the patriarch of what became the C.F. Martin Company, mm-hmm, the oldest guitar maker in the world, still family operated here in the United States.
Oldest guitar maker in the world.
Since 1833.
So the guitar, the instrument itself, did not come to America as a guitar. It was something else.
Well, it came as a guitar, but not a guitar that you would recognize today as what I showed you when I walked in here.
Mm-hmm.
Guitars in the early 1800s were much smaller. The relationship between the upper and lower bouts was much more of an hourglass shaped thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there were considerable construction details that were different than what we know today. And there was a project a few years ago that sought to trace the evolution. C.F. Martin came to the United States from Germany in 1833 and began incorporating started with a Viennese Germanic style instrument and began incorporating Spanish influence about 1840 because the Spanish guitars were different than German guitars. And came out around 1850 after incorporating these Spanish influences with a guitar that was neither Spanish nor German, was uniquely American.
American. See those Americans, they do it again.
And the project that landed some of my work at the Museum of Modern Art was a book that traced that evolution, and there was an exhibit associated with the book. Mm-hmm. Of approximately 50 pre-1850 guitars, most of them Martins, but some Ashbourne guitars and some Spanish instruments. And the person who conceived the project is one of my clients.
Okay.
And so a lot of the guitars that were in that exhibit were his guitars, and a lot of the work that had been done on them was my work.
The restoration work,
right,
with those
so,
guitars.
So wow. It was my work on display, not my guitars on display.
Okay.
At MoMA. But and there's, you know, again, work of mine on display at the Martin Museum in Nazareth, PA, at the factory where it exists today. Because C.F. Martin is still in business. I'm a warranty agent for that company, as a matter of fact.
So what kind of training is required to be a good guitar maker?
That's a good question, and whatever that training would be, I successfully sidestepped all of it. I started 30 years ago when there really wasn't much out there. Mm-hmm. There were two or three books when I started, and they were sort of sketchy at best, and. In the ensuing 30-some-odd years, right, there's been an explosion in hobby luthery. Mm-hmm. And along with it, there have been tons more books. There's been the internet. And, right, you know, you can go to YouTube and find a million different videos on all different topics having to do with luthery. There have been schools that have sprung up. There's a place called Red Wing Technical College in Minnesota that has a degree program, mm-hmm, in instrument repair. And there are others as well. So there's a lot of different ways you can get to this. The way I did it was I started as a hobbyist. I was just interested in learning to fix the guitars that I owned when they had issues. I had friends who were in the instrument business and the instrument trade, retail, and I was able to rummage through their basements for, you know, wrecked instruments, right, that I could basically take home for nothing and practice repair skills on. And that's how I got started. Now, I also had the sort of informal mentorship of a couple of really, really talented and very, very generous people from the area who I'm still great friends with, who shared a lot of time and expertise with me. One of them is a guy named David LaPlante, who is an extraordinarily talented classical and steel string guitar maker from Selkirk. And
is there a big community of guitar makers in this area?
There's more than you would think.
I'm starting to discover that.
There's more than you would think. There's actually quite a few. And there are, you know, I talked about schools. I mean, there are at least, that I can think of, off the top of my head, there's a guy down in Kingston that has a class that you know, that people can go and take to learn to build. And they build from a kit. So you could go down and sign up for his class, and it's like a 2-week or 3-week thing, you know, and take a class and build a guitar.
Right.
There's a fellow named Marty Massisa up in Stillwater who operates out of a place called the Maplewood Center for Common Craft. teaching people to build guitars and mandolins and I think ukuleles as well. He does a uke class. There's a fella up in Malone, up near the Canadian border, named David Nichols, who does classes out of his shop. So, you know, that's three places right off the top of my head within, you know, within a couple hours drive.
So where exactly is your shop, and how can people reach out to you? Let's suppose they've got this antique guitar they got from their grandfather. It's been in the closet. It's collecting dust. And they're saying, I must do something with this. How do they contact you?
Well, I'm in the village of Scotia. My shop is home-based, and everything's by appointment. So, you know, people can find me on the web. And the best way to find me on the web is go to my website, which is www.guitar-repair.com, and contact me through the website to make an appointment to bring over what you've got. I do work on all kinds of fretted instruments, so it doesn't matter, guitar, banjo, mandolin, ukulele, doesn't matter how new, how old, doesn't have to be top shelf. I do work on student instruments all the way through top shelf stuff, although the specialty of the shop really is in high-end instruments. I do everything from simple setup work to complete complex restorations. I do appraisals for insurance purposes. I buy and sell.
You cover it all.
I do everything there is to try to make a living with guitars except play them. I do play, but not for money.
Well, I know from reading your bio that you've been a director of the Association of Stringed Instrument Artisans.
Board member.
That's great. Yeah. And you've written articles for Guitar Makers Magazine.
Correct.
Also,
correct.
You know, you're sort of, you got your hands in a little bit of everything out there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of questions over the years from people, mostly young folks who want to try to get into luthery, about will you take on an apprentice, you know, and my shop, you know, my shop just has never allowed for that. I don't have the space for it.
Right.
Always had a home-based shop, and that's been part of making my business model work. Has been keeping my shop home based, so I didn't have any overhead.
All right,
and so that also though was somewhat limiting in that I'd love to have somebody come in that I could pass the skills on to, but I don't really have the space for it. So the way that I've done that is by getting involved with the Association of Stringed Instrument Artisans and being a board member and writing for the magazine and going to their symposium every 2 years and presenting workshops and doing demos and things like that as a way of sort of passing the skills on. Because that's critically important, I think.
Well, Steve, we are so glad you came into the studio, and we really appreciate all of the hard work that you do, and we're glad that you've been here to participate in another segment of Reclaiming History. I agree with you. What you do is a craft. And we and I appreciate all that you do, and I wish you much success.
Well, thanks for having me.